It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now you have the setback with Mania, and now he's going to be shut down from throwing for 2 weeks. There's inflammation in that oblique. The obliques could be tricky. I don't see where the Mets can replace Sean Manaea here. Now, it's not that I don't trust David Stearns and the pitching staff, because I do to a certain extent, but I really think a major key, at least right now, the way that this roster looks, they need Sean Manaea healthy, and now that's not going to be the case for a while.
Okay, I heard this in the car yesterday coming home with Evan and Tiki, and my first reaction is different than my reaction now. My first reaction was much like you. Fairly ominous. You're getting the injections. You're getting shut down at least for 2 weeks before you touch a ball. And then you got to ramp back up if there's no setbacks again. I don't think we see Sean Manaea till June. It could be July. But I got to tell you, the more I thought about this, I don't want to say that it's not a big deal because it could be. But it's not a shoulder. It's not an elbow. Sean Manaea is going to pitch this year, okay? And Braves still haven't won a game here. Like, I'm watching the Mets last night, and to me, this might just seem weird or just, I don't know, almost like a contrarian perspective, but it's really not. I would rather get the news about Manaea that we got yesterday from a Mets perspective than seeing Senga go out there last night and either really labor and pitch. Well, if Lindor, you know, doesn't boot the ball around, he pitches a great game. It sounds worse than it is. Manaea is going to pitch this year. I don't think it's a massive deal.
The problem is for me, and I love hearing that, and I don't think it's debilitating to the regular season, but one of the keys for me was Sean Manaea, because he's, look at that rotation. Who's got the potential that Sean Manaea has? I don't believe anybody in the current rotation, including Kodai Senga, has the potential that Sean Manaea has, especially what he's shown in the second half of last year, changing the arm angle.
By the way, I'd probably agree with that. Okay. Keep going. I'd probably agree.
So then also look back to Manaea's history where last year was really an outlier. I mean, Manaea has shown flashes before, especially early on in his career, but he's also been a pitcher that has been off injured. And you had him last year throw, you know, 100 and whatever it was, about 181 innings. He never did that before in his entire career. So maybe a byproduct of that, 181 innings and postseason, all that stuff, is going to be potentially a lost year. I'm not trying to project when he's coming back, but let's say he comes back on time and there are no more setbacks. Then the question is, okay, well, is he going to be full throttle what Manaea was a year ago? Is there going to be time to, you know, build that up? Is he going to be good to go in the postseason? With a guy who's been injured before, a guy who threw his career high in innings last year, I don't think it's unrealistic to maybe brace yourself for, hey, maybe it's just going to be a lost season for Manaea, even if he comes back who knows if you could count on him to be that ace that he was in the second half of last season.
Yeah, but even if he started the season healthy and there was no setbacks, and you might be right, there might be some residue from being overly taxed a year ago, hitting the 180-plus threshold, and he's never been there before. I still don't know that there was any sort of guarantee that Sean Manaea just slotted into this top of the, well, certainly top of the rotation, but this borderline unhittable, you know, all-star right. ace. I think for me, there were still not many questions because I do like him. And I think with the change in windup, I think it's just enhanced what's already a pretty good repertoire in terms of what he throws. Now he conceals the ball. I think it adds up. I think Manaea is really good. You know, I like him.
Right.
But let me ask you this. Do you not think, and I think it's a pretty simple question, do you think he doesn't pitch this year?
I think he'll pitch at some point.
So do I.
Because to your point, I think it's a good one about the shoulder, the elbow, none of that. This Boom. Is an oblique. Okay.
So do I. But, he's going to pitch this year.
Okay, but I think it's fair to have concerns, even if he were 100% healthy coming into the year. Like, is it fair to say that last year might have been the outlier? A lot of us believed that it was legit when he found the new arm angle. He looked dominant. But what he did last year, he did for the first time in his career. He had the best ERA, I believe, in his career, outside of the a year where he didn't pitch a full season. He had the best year of his career ERA-wise and innings pitched. Is it fair to expect that again? I don't know. So I think there were some question marks coming in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the injuries on top of it, I just don't. I don't think you could count on Sean Manaea. Maybe that's the best way I could say it right now, to where I was ready to count on him coming into the year.
Yep.
And then even after the initial oblique, it's like, all right, it's not that bad. He'll come back and we could count on him. Once something like this happens, now I think it's too murky. And I just would say that I hope for the best. I expect him to get back at some point, but I would not be relying on him or counting on him to be that top of the rotation guy this year.
Okay, so I watched the first 2 months of the season last year, a Yankee rotation without Gerrit Cole, do things that, I mean, I didn't think they had any chance to do. Now, I'm not saying that the Mets will absolutely replicate that, but, you know, baseball's a weird sport. And Kodai Senga was not around for the Mets last year. And I know it's easy to get wrapped up in, well, is he truly a gamer? Well, everything's got to be
He's
perfect.
He's a pain in the neck, dude, with
I
these
know,
starts. He needs his rest.
I know. It's annoying and tricky to work around, but you know, Kodai Senga, when he's on the mound, is at the lowest level serviceable, and at the highest level, sometimes unhittable. So that's an early return that, again, very early return. Again, Lindor's not going to make two errors. Maybe the rest of his career in a single game. So at least Senga's out there, and he looked pretty good. Peterson, you know I like him. McGill looked good. And I'm not a big Tyler McGill fan, but he did have a really good spring training, and he did pitch really well this first start. You know, the hardest thing to do, I think especially in baseball, Sal, is to escape either previous narratives or statistical trends, because we're so numbers-oriented, and our eyes are very strong tools that it really takes, when I say us, I mean me, you, fans, everybody, us, collectively as fans, it's hard to disassociate our brains from what we've seen for a while, but there is a chance that Tyler McGill is going to be an asset this year. There's a chance.
Yeah, I know. I don't trust him.
I'm not leaning on it, but there's. I get it. I'm not saying I trust him either.
Right.
But there's a chance that while I don't trust him, I'm not just going to throw him to the side and say he's got no chance. I'm going to take a wait and see because he did have a good spring and he has shown some growth. I like Peterson. And listen, I think tonight might be one of, this is going to sound ridiculously hyperbolic. I think tonight's one of the bigger starts that a Met will have over the next couple of months. I need to see not seven innings, zero runs, nine whiffs, and one walk, but I need to see Clay Holmes bounce back, and I believe that he will. And if he does, I do believe the Mets will be able to navigate what's going to be an extended run without Sean Manaea.
I trust David Stearns. I think you'd be a fool not to at this point. Now, it's one time through this rotation this year, but still, the one time looks pretty good. He also had all of last year. I just feel like, remember, coming into the year, it was built with Manaea and Montas in mind, and the other guys that we're seeing now, Griffin Canning, Tyler McGill, they were supposed to be depth pieces.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Montas not here for a while at least. Manaea, and you could say that he's going to come back. We don't know. Yeah, we assume he's going to come back. We thought the same thing last year with Kodai Senga. He came back, got hurt again. He ended up missing the whole year. So there's always that thought of, oh, maybe he'll come back. There's a lot of question mark. And if I'm saying in my mind, I can't rely on Manaea, now that leaves you thin in that rotation where there is no more wiggle room. Blackburn may come back at some point soon, but I mean, it's Blackburn.
I'm not counting. He's the one guy when they got him.
Okay.
I'm like,
I don't know about him. But Blackburn, Canning, McGill, Peterson, Holmes is converted. You know, there are a lot of – they're lacking depth now because of the two injuries. They're lacking a true horse atop that rotation, and their margin for error just became basically zero in the rotation because if something else were to go wrong, and it's April 2nd or whatever it is today.
I get that.
If something else were to go wrong in that rotation, now again, I'm not saying it's going to torpedo the Mets season, but this is where this would be the one guy in that rotation that I wouldn't want to have any kind of significant issue when it seems like that's the case with Manaea after the setback.
Okay, so the fact that the Braves lost again, they're 0-6.
I love it.
You got to love it, Mets fans. The fact that they're 0-6 and the Dodgers smacked them around and they've got pitching issues.
Yeah, the Mets will hit. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's where I was going. Like, don't you think, because I remember saying to you a lot, I believe, and it's been the opposite so far, though I do think it will correct itself somewhat. Fully, I'm not sure, but somewhat, yes. Where I think the Mets would, I thought the Mets would have to win some slugfest early. I've said that. 8-7, 7-6. Do I believe that Alonso's going to hit 160 or whatever? No. Nemo's showing some signs. I mean, Lindor, the usual April funk. Right. I mean, Soto's hitting 250. We know he's not a 250 hitter. He's basically more like a 315 hitter. He's great. So I think that the Mets right now, and I understand the concerns, but I think when you take a step back and incorporate the other team's issues, again, I'm not saying it's not a big deal with Manaea. It's not the end of the world because he wasn't even going to start the season healthy. I knew he was missing April, so what? Now he's going to miss May. Deal with it. You'll be all right.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Rob is calling from Tom's River. What's up, Robbie?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Man, this is like the third time I've called and the third time I've led this show off.
You like him leadoff on BT and Sal. Yeah. Good for you.
It's the Goldschmidt here.
I love you guys. I really love you guys.
Thanks,
are great. So I wanna kind of hop in with BT a little bit. I want to disagree about this not being a big deal with Manaea. And the reason why I say that, you know, on the surface, you're right. Right? Not a big deal. He'll be back middle of May, beginning of June, whatever. But this was a B-minus rotation with full health coming into the season. And now we're looking at C-minus, D-plus. Like, Sal, I kind of want to agree with you. There is no horse. Like, I'm watching the games every night with bated breath, hoping somebody doesn't get hurt or we can go deep. And it doesn't help that, you know, we were supposed to be scoring 6, 7, 8 runs a night, and we have not. So,
but it's been five games.
I'm not worried.
Right. Exactly, Rob. It's been five games, though. So that's why, and thank you for the call. That's why I wouldn't go nuts about the offense yet. I'm not concerned about the offense because Lindor will hit eventually. The calendar may have to turn to May or June. But once he starts hitting, it looks like a totally different team. And Alonso, even though I'm not as high on him as some, he's still going to put up his numbers. Nemo's starting to look a little bit better. We know Vientos. Like, I'm not worried. The offense, you got to give at least a little bit of time here. You can't just judge it off of five games. But I would be concerned about the pitching because we know how these things work. We actually said the same thing with the Yankees, who were loaded coming into the year. But once you start losing some of these guys, you know, Cole goes down, Heel goes down. I forget the timeline, but once they lose one of them, it was Heel first, right? If I'm not mistaken.
It was Heel first.
Right, so Heel first, and then it's like, okay, well, yeah, they could overcome that, but now you don't want to have anything else happen. And then when Cole goes down, now it's like, oh.
And then Schmidt, too.
And then Schmidt. So, boom, before you even start the season, the Yankees are down three of their best pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could overcome that, but now the margin for error, what happens if somebody else, knock on wood, doesn't have? So the Mets were thin coming in. Manaea was the one guy who I thought could be a game changer in that rotation. That's why, again, doesn't mean the season's over. I still believe the Mets will be a playoff team and they'll be fine. But this is the one guy that I was counting on to be a difference maker in that rotation. And now I can't have any expectations because I don't know how you could when you have a setback like this. Who's to say that it couldn't happen again, another setback?
It could. No, it could happen. But it could happen to other teams, too.
Right.
I mean, this is a long race. And I love it. That's what makes this city the best. When it comes to, I mean, all the sports, but really baseball. Like, we do attach almost a football-like urgency on a night-to-night baseball basis for both the Mets and the Yankees. And that's because we love it, you love it, we're invested, and that's the way it's always going to be. And that's the way it's always been. But I don't know a single major league player to miss the entire year due to an oblique strain. I know, you know, players who have pulled up a little lame in maybe in July, and they leave a game with an oblique strain, and it's an issue for the rest of the year. I know a lot of pitchers who leave spring training with, whether it's a shoulder impediment or impingement or impediment, but I'll go with the actual medical term, impingement. Jeez. Good God. I mean, I have one. How do I not remember what the hell I have? But the impingement or elbow pain, this will be dealt with. It's a pushback. It's not optimal. I understand that. You don't want to lose the series to the Marlins. But I heard a lot of gloom and doom already today.
Yeah.
I'm not on that boat.
Also,
not yet.
Also, to be positive with it for a sec, this is one of the advantages of, well, I shouldn't call it an advantage, but one of the things that I like about the way Stearns builds a team to where you're not so heavily reliant on the pitcher.
Yeah.
It's we looked at Manaea as the Mets ace because he was their best pitcher, but this is not losing Gerrit Cole. Now they don't have Max Fried to replace him, but the drop off from Manaea, I mean, last year was a career year, 3.47 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
If you're telling me that you can't get that or close to that from Clay Holmes,
I think you'll get it from Senga.
Or Peterson or
Senga. I think you'll get it from Senga.
Right, so then you have him replace it. I'm just thinking big picture down the road, and Manaea was going to be one of those weapons that the Mets would need against the good teams, and especially in the postseason. Good news is we have a long way to go to the postseason. The other side of it, BT, is that their bullpen is better than it was a year ago. So that should help them, you know, weather this storm as well.
You led me there. It's funny. I was going to go to the bullpen. Yeah, it's good to have more arms, which they do. But now this is a danger that I would present as unfortunately very, very plausible for the Mets here. Yes, the bullpen's better. Yes, they've got more arms, higher leverage arms. Diaz's velo is back. What they have in front of them is better. But without some length that Manaea is going to give you, I fear that the Mets' bullpen, which could be a and is supposed to be a bit of a strength this year, you know, where are they in terms of just the odometer when you get to the hot dog days of July and August?
Yeah.
That's a concern.
Well, they're going to have versatility or flexibility in that bullpen, sending guys down, bringing guys up. They value that. They also have multi-inning guys in that bullpen, which is a difference. Not only good, but guys that could go multiple innings, which should save your bullpen resting them. You know, you have two guys pitch two-plus innings on one night, the next two guys up the next night, or three guys, whatever it is, and you give these guys off days built-in kind of.
Now, there's ways to navigate it, but it does complicate the season.
Yeah, and I still would just worry. Hoff was saying that David Peterson, would you say there, Hoff?
Yeah, in 2021, June 30th, he went down with an oblique strain. He missed the rest of the season, which was 3 months.
June, July. He went down end of June. So
June
July,
30th.
And Manaea was late February. Okay. The setback yesterday. Well, actually, it wasn't yesterday. Right, so, Mendy said it was a couple of days ago, but it came out yesterday.
All right, so even if you count 3 months from now, all of April, all of May, let's say he comes back in July, you'd sign for that right now.
I wouldn't mind a little earlier than I wouldn't put July as the time. I still think June.
Understood, but if you're telling me similar with Luis Gil, and again, I know different injuries, so it's not apples to apples. I'm just saying the timeline is, or Stanton. As long as you get Stanton back before October, you're good to go. And obviously we expect it sooner than that, or maybe it sounds like the Yankees do. If you get Heal back and he's ready to go and pitching, you know, working his way up and in midseason form by end of September, by October, you're good to go. If you tell me that right now, that I could have Sean Manaea clean, healthy, midseason form by July or even August,
you take it.
Yeah, I would. Now I don't know where the Mets are going to be in the standings, but I just need him ready. I know you got to make the postseason. I expect that's going to be the case with this Mets team. I want him ready full bore to go to the postseason.
Yeah, and oddly, you know, we bring up Luis Gil. I almost feel better about Manaea's physical situation than I do Luis Gil.
Because the oblique?
Not given the unpredictable nature of the shoulder and the arm for a pitcher.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, the oblique is not fun. Yeah, have you ever torn your oblique?
No.
I have.
I mean, not that I know of.
The intercostal, everything's happened to me.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. Golfing.
Okay.
The intercostal, it's like the soft side.
Okay.
It feels like somebody's stabbing a knife. What haven't I had? Like a sword in my side. Yeah. I remember going over speed bumps in Manhattan and I felt like
you
I was
haven't had the
die.
Gout. You haven't had the gout yet. False alarm. You thought we had that.
The gout has been ruled out, thank God. But the point is that the oblique eventually does heal. the shoulder and the unpredictable nature of that. I'm not saying that the oblique is fully predictable because you could breathe in the middle of the night awkwardly and you could set yourself back a month. It's a very hard thing to navigate. Manaea's going to be back. I guess the only question really is, do you believe, and maybe we can get into this coming up next year, a bigger item for the Mets. Do you believe that the Mets need Manaea to stay afloat before he gets back?
Hoffman's first time Dove's ever heard that song. Me too, as a matter of... Who was that? Was that Kesha?
No, that was Pitbull and J-Lo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You never heard that before?
I didn't.
All right, we were not familiar with that. Hoff, what are you...
Where
were you supposed to know everything?
Where were you 10... Yes. Where were you 10 years ago?
You have expanded... Well, I mean, J-Lo I've heard of. You know, I saw her once at SNY.
And?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
In person...
She's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, she's held up amazingly. She's got... Keep going.
We get it.
You know her sister works in the building, right?
I know.
Very nice person.
Well, yeah. I love her as well. But, yeah, J-Lo, when you... Yeah. Anyway. all right, BT and Sal. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. So do you think... You asked the question before, BT. Do you think that the Mets can overcome a prolonged absence from Manaea?
If you asked me this a month or so ago, my answer probably would be different than it is now. Back then, it would have been no. More now, like now, I'm more inclined to say yes. I mean, I know it's early, but again, when the Braves start 0-6,
yeah,
I mean, that sets a template here for them to have a brutal April. Now, they're going to start winning some games here, but... they're not going to rip off 10 in a row, so there's a window of vulnerability that even if the Mets are around 500 or so, they're not going to get lapped. Like, that's the fear. Like, when you start out so poorly, nobody's going to win a division in April. We say this with the NFL. You're not going to be a playoff team in September or win a division in September, but you can lose a division in September if you're 0-4 and you happen to be with a team that, you know, is on pace for 13 or 14 wins. It's a little different baseball because there's so many months to make up that ground and get some more traction, but... I'm not so sure that the Braves, within the next 2 months, are just going to say, okay, we're healthy, we're ready, let's coast, let's win 15 of 16. I think they've got some vulnerabilities that we might gloss over here because we're so fixated on the Mets' plight and their injuries. Mm-hmm. They are really banged up.
The NL East is over! No, yeah, I wish the Mets were off to a hotter start that we could have some fun with that. Yeah, I'm not looking, honestly, until just now, I haven't looked at the standings. I'm aware that the Braves haven't won a game. We've been having some fun with that on SNY. You mentioned it here, yesterday, today, whatever. It's way too early to look at the standings, so I'm not getting caught up in that. I just look at this team, and I do feel, my gut feel is that, yeah, they're going to be fine regardless. But if I'm thinking big picture, that's where it starts to worry me about Manaea, who last year could have proven to be an outlier. Again, he's been a good pitcher at times before, but last year, especially in the second half, he turned out to be a great pitcher. He also threw a career high in innings, so there is that year after where maybe because of the workload from a year ago that's going to impact him this year, I think it already has to a certain extent.
Yeah, but now, don't you think he can regenerate by having all these months off?
I hope.
If his arm and his body's out, and I don't mean the oblique, which is the actual injury, but if he was tired or had some diminished stuff because he was pushed to a level that he's not used to last year, maybe being on ice for a couple of months, and maybe same with Luis Gil, we brought him up before, is not the worst thing in the world, provided the Mets don't drown without him.
Keep them fresher for the postseason.
Jalen Brunson would talk about the same thing.
Yeah,
Get back and be ready to go in six games.
Well, that's kind of the point. I almost think, it's not sad, but the way that we view sports now, I know we want to react and overreact. Oh, get Lindor going, and why don't the Mets have a little rotation now on opening day, and what are you doing with these lineups? But in reality, April, May, you're still feeling things out. They have been doing that for a while in baseball, feeling things out. We as fans never wanted to accept that, but I feel like now, as the sport has evolved, I am more accepting of that mindset. And not being like, oh, you have to have a 26-man roster that's going to go win a World Series on March 31st.
Yeah.
So I'm accepting of it.
Why do you accept it more? Because it's just more evidence that you could get through a rough start?
Yeah.
I agree.
That it doesn't matter as much, right?
Yep.
I mean,
which
I hate to say
sucks
that.
To say. I know. You're going to say the same thing. Which is unfortunate because we love the game, but... I mean, the Mets were an inch away from not being a playoff team. They were also basically an inch or two away from being a World Series team.
And they started out as bad as you can start, not just the 0-5. Oof. I mean, the first month plus, you got guys throwing gloves into the stands.
They were getting
it was
the Brewers
as
series
ugly,
with Hoskins sliding into McNeil. It was just ugly stuff.
It was as ugly as you can possibly. Lindor looking like he was toast for 2 months. It was as ugly as you could have. So based off of living that in real time last year, you'd be a fool to be going nuts about this stuff. My biggest concern, though, is that because it's Manaea, who was not a guarantee, doesn't have the track record of a true ace anyway, he hasn't been 100% healthy his entire career in addition to that, that I hope it's not one of those years where sometimes you're, oh, yeah, we'll get him back, oh, whatever, he'll be fine by this month, and it just turns out to be a lost season. It happens.
It does happen. No, no, listen, I'm not saying that it's impossible. Listen, there's a reason why when we did our over-unders, I picked the Mets to be under, what was it, up 90 and a half, right? That was the win total.
We went head-to-head on that.
We did. You went over, I went under. I went slightly under, and even though I said I don't think they'll make the playoffs, I was kind of having a little bit of fun with that, but I do think they'll be right in the neighborhood. I think if it was 90 on the button, I think the half actually sent me the other way. If it was 90, I could have easily gone 90. I think they're going to be 88, 89. They could be 91. They could be 87. There's a lot of variables here. But what I do know is, and I just looked this up. I wanted to confirm. I went back to opening day last year against the Brewers. That was a rough series, right? Just to tell you how much things change. First of all, Nimmo was the leadoff man. Now it's Lindor. Right. Okay, Lindor was batting second. Pete was batting third. Soto was with the Yankees. Alvarez was batting fourth. He's hurt.
Stewart.
DJ Stewart.
I wish it was Dave Stewart.
I know. Yeah, he could probably pitch now still, Smoke. Yeah, he's good. DJ Stewart was the DH. Marte was in right. All right, Beatty was in third. Bader was in center.
McNeil, that was their opening day lineup?
Wendell was over at second base. So there was no Soto. There was no Vientos. There was no Lindor as the leadoff man. You know, there was just...
No wonder why we were going nuts and yelling and screaming. I mean, that lineup is pathetic.
And not very good. And Diaz was coming off the big injury. We didn't really know much about him. Manaea didn't have the new windup yet. There was just... And again, this is not to just push this down the road and say, they'll definitely be fine. I'm not saying that. I mean, baseball is tough, and baseball is unpredictable. But I just don't think it's the end of the world with Manaea. I don't.
888-808.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
101.9, Mike is on Staten Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys? There's definitely concern for Manaea, but as long as the Braves keep losing baseball, I think everything's all right. Would it kill them to just leave Acuna in against the righties for the first week of April? I love him when he's in the lineup.
Well, he was in there last night. He got the start against Alcantara.
I'm saying when they took him out for Beatty for the matchup, I'd love to see him what he could do against righties. I mean, I'm tired of Beatty already. I think Acuna could ball. I love when he's in the lineup. He's versatile. You see him running around those bases. He's in the dugout after Siri hit that ball.
Yeah, I mean, look, and thank you for the call, Mike. I don't disagree, but he was in there. Yep. Luis Angel Acuna started the game against one of the best righties in the sport. So I like Acuna as well. They got to give – here's the thing. Again, April, you're trying to feel out certain things. If you don't give Beatty at-bats now, how are you ever going to know? We could assume he's going to sink, but they need to find out if he's going to sink or swim, and now's the time to find out.
Yes, you need answers here. I mean, the thought of him not doing well and being sent back down to the minors and then still being viewed as a viable option down the road, there's an expiration point on how many times you get a look and how many times you come up small and how many times the team is still willing to go back to you. Now, it doesn't mean that it's absolutely final. Like if he's hitting a $170 after a month, they're like, all right, one more. I'd have to check his optionality. I don't even know where that stands because he's gone back and forth a few times. But again, that would expire soon. Maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe they really believe in him. Maybe whatever numbers they look at, what they've seen behind the scenes, his transition to second base. Although I do like Acuna as well. They need an answer, like the Yankees need the answer on Dominguez. There's a few very interesting players in New York right now. Now, Dominguez has a little more time because he's played a little less, I guess. But no, you don't go into next year saying, is Beatty a piece of the puzzle? You get the answer in the first month or two now.
And Acuna got the start. And I do think Acuna is going to be an integral part of this team's lineup, batting eighth or ninth, wherever it may be, as kind of a setup guy for Lindor and Soto. When they get Acuna gives great at-bats. He's an electric athlete. He's got a good glove there. I know he's going to make some rookie mistakes, but
he brings juice.
To me, he's a player, an impact player for them. Beatty pinch hit for Acuna in the eighth inning, but Acuna did get the start against the righty. You got to give a Beatty in a bat here or there. I didn't have a big issue with that at the time. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. I agree with both of your points, and the reason I think the Mets will be okay with Mania's injury a little longer, three reasons. First off, BT, I like your take on what you said in general, and I agree with you, Sal, on how Stearns built the rotation. Here's my theory. Number one, I think we have enough data on Senger, Peterson, and McGill to kind of know what they are. I don't see any of those people getting way worse. In fact, I think Peterson and McGill can improve. Clay Holmes is the one on that we need to see. Second, I think the way the bullpen is built, you have two very good long men in Buteau and Kranich to pick up some of those innings if you need them. That's a strength. And I think thirdly, the Mets are going to need their version of heel. If Matt Allen or Tidwell or Sprout or one of those people can come up and, you know, and be a little electric, that's going to bode well for the Mets.
Yeah, and he might. And we've talked about that before. He might. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, I don't know when. I don't think it's going to be a direct answer to Manaea's lack of availability now. But I think the Mets broke camp, and I thought that they looked at Sprout as a guy that very well they might inject into the middle of the season. There's no doubt.
And I know he wasn't very good, I guess, in his first minor league start. But I felt this way coming into the season, to your point, BT, that one of those guys, Sprout was maybe the most predominant one, but one of those guys in the minors is going to have to come up and have an impact here, and or they're going to have to go outside the organization and bring in a top arm. Yeah. There's just, to me, there is no way the Mets can win a World Series with the rotation that they had coming into the season. That's with a healthy Manaea.
I agree with that.
So we assume that they were going to have to add on top of that. Now you take Manaea out of the picture at least for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's not urgency here, but with the unknown of what's going to happen if he comes back, when he comes back, how he's going to be, I think it's even more important that one of those two things happens. Whoever, Tidwell, Sprout, whatever, pick a guy in the minor leagues, I don't care who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to come up here and be a dominant arm atop that rotation, and or they have to go out and acquire one.
Well, that's the only thing that I wonder what their timeline is. I know that they've got the appetite. Cohen's going to take on the money when he has to. If there's a move to make to elevate the Mets higher at some point, there's no doubt Cohen's going to do it. I think we all know that. But with the news, even though I don't think it's a massive deal, you know, you don't know exactly when Manaea is coming back, and you do want to make sure you stay afloat. And if you don't do something proactive now, which I'm not saying that they should go out and get a Dylan Cease tonight, but if you don't, and somebody else beats you to him in 4 or 5 weeks, and Manaea comes back and is not quite the same, well, now that could be a different issue, because now the options to improve midseason, that's one less.
Right. And
so you got to calculate how aggressive you want to be now, kind of setting the framework to maybe acquire a big arm.
Right, because the price would go up on, say, Alcantara. Hoff did say that Beatty has, what, 1 year, you said, left?
One year of
options back and forth.
A little frustrating loss last night. A couple things that were really good. You like to see Dominguez get off the schneid, Park one, Volpe another one. Rice is hitting the ball.
Yeah.
That at bat by Rice, Martinez, the lefty at the end. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that. Yeah.
Dude, he is filthy. I think the Yankees had struck out like five times in a row, and he squared up a two-strike pitch, a lefty on lefty.
He hit a bomb.
Crushed it. So that's good to see.
And Boone was high. Boone is going to be high on a lot of guys.
Yeah, but what was he saying?
No, I'm saying he was high on Rice. He was saying
coming
that
into the year.
Yes. Yeah.
Very high. And Take it for what you will, but, you know, I believe there's something behind it. The exit velo numbers were very good in spring training. He put on 15 pounds, if you read the stories and follow. Ben Rice looks good. Now, the only thing that popped up again last night, first of all, the Yanks got lucky in this regard. They got a gift two runs where they had a couple of guys on that ground ball to Naylor.
I can't stand watching Naylor play baseball. He stinks. Get him off the field. Good God, in the postseason last year. I mean, come on, BT.
That was gross.
That is as routine a play as you could possibly have.
Yeah, he can swing it, but he is. And he's usually a little bit better than. I mean, that was just egregiously bad. He flipped it over Burns' head.
He airmailed the toss.
Not even an overhand. You don't see the underhand airmail very often. That is a special mistake right there. I didn't love the Yankees situational hitting a couple times in the game. They had a couple of guys on, and they didn't advance runners. Again, they played four times, they've won three. Jazz, you know, the four whiffs. Yankees, top four hitters didn't do anything. It's baseball. But let's face it. I think if the Yankees are healthier in the bullpen, I don't think they blow that game. You know, Mark Leiter got burned on the granny. I don't think he's pitching in that spot. Now, Hill didn't do a good job either, but, you
know. And maybe Boone stuck with him maybe a little bit too long. You could argue that. Okay, fair enough. It's early. That is a bad loss, though, because you're facing a good pitcher. So I'd be concerned about the results versus a good pitcher, but it's not a huge deal. They did take advantage of the, as we mentioned, the error, and then not being able to hold that lead at home.
That's always frustrating. Get away from,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a frustrating one.
I don't care what month it is. Yeah. It's early, but yeah, you got to bag that win.
Gets a good team, good pitcher. But there were some signs in there, like you said, and Dominguez, man, he just looks, whether he's going to be good or not, who knows, but he just looks. They were talking about on the broadcast how he's jacked. You can see his build.
He's big, man.
He just looks the part to be an impact player, obviously, for the Yankees. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We have a statement here from the Queen, Queen Cohen. You want me to read it to you?
The Queen?
Yes.
First time we've referred to her as that.
Well, I mean, can she be king? She could.
Well, I mean, she could.
Well, king and queen.
What you want to do. Alex, I mean, Cohen. Steve's the king. Yeah. I mean, she's okay, next in order, okay, I would imagine.
Fair. I don't want to be, you know, I want to be PC in today's world.
Understood.
I don't mean to disrespect. And if queen is a higher ranking in this particular case than king, I'm fine with that.
It depends on the country, but yeah, I got you.
I just figure king and queen.
I got you.
Okay, so Alex Cohen on social media. I thought this was interesting.
What'd you say?
Fans, it's been a joy connecting with all of you over the years. However, due to an overwhelming number of requests for jobs, free tickets, player meet and greets, foundation and financial support, I may need to disable my direct messages and email access. I've included the link in my bio that directs you to the appropriate Met services for these inquiries. Can you imagine? She had her DMs open and people are hitting her up with all that stuff.
Everybody looking for a handout. And by the way, the Mets fans aren't dummies. I mean, when the King's worth 13, and I think he added about $3 or $4 billion to his bottom line recently. I think he's closer to 20 than he is 10 at this point. Well, why not ask? You can't hurt.
Leave the Queen alone, will you? Let them be. Good God, everybody looking for something.
I mean, if she said, hey, Sal, you know. Here's a couple of hundred thousand. Love your passionate Met takes. You say no?
If she's offering to people or running like a contest or saying
that's different than asking, I guess.
But all the DMs, so she has them open. So technically you or I could have hit her up and been like, hey, you want to come on the show? Or hey, you got any free tickets? Or we wouldn't do that.
No, we wouldn't. But, you know, when you have access to somebody like that, you know, again, we do this for a living. The average fans like that, that's a direct liaison to the team that they love.
But
so
as
long as they're polite.
I guess.
I'm sure they are.
Wouldn't you do it then publicly instead of privately with a DM?
I'll tell you why. Now, again, asking for tickets, I quit begging. You know, I know tickets aren't cheap, but quit begging.
Dude, I remember, like, Francesa. We all think like, oh, yeah, all right. First of all, nobody here gets tickets for free. Like, the company has tickets, but it's not. Generally, I remember Mike, he used to have to go into his pocket to get the tickets. But the amount of requests that would come in every day, I saw him get it. It's like, you think you're the only one who's asking, but meanwhile, it's everybody that's asking. So now imagine Alex Cohen, owner of the Mets, getting inundated with these.
Yeah, I'm sure it's annoying, but the only thing to me that is, I won't say acceptable, I don't know, it's not that serious if you're asking for a hand of tickets, would be some sort of charitable endeavor where you're like, okay, I know the resources that they have, and, you know, I have a foundation like Boomer.
Right.
They are very, you know, charitable and in what they do. I'm talking about the Cohens. It can't hurt to ask when you're trying to help people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, try to get a freebie. Hey, can you hook me up with a meet and greet with Lindor? You know, can you have Soto sign my bat? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they got some of that, too.
And, by the way, it may come from, like you said, a good place. Who knows? Maybe you're dealing with, you know, a sick child or whatever. I'm sure that a lot of it comes from a good place, but just imagine it's things like this that then would prevent somebody from giving that access. So in her mind, she's doing the right thing. Steve Cohen, same thing. You're interacting on social media. You think, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing here and interact with the fans. And then you try to do that. And then people, without even having ill intention,
yep,
take advantage of it or push it to a point where you leave no choice but for them not to interact or leave their DMs open.
And it goes both ways here, Sal. Like, she's feeling pretty good about herself now, and she should. Met fans love her. She fostered this family environment, brought her dad, as we know the story, to the Soto meeting. I think that was the first one. No, actually, maybe that was the second one. Either way, very involved. The family atmosphere they're fostering. It's all good right now in Metsville. And it might be good for a long time, but the way fans are and the way, not all, the way some mean-spirited people are, I could promise you, the moment that the Mets take a turn like every team
DMs
takes, those requests and those DMs get a little more mean.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We're talking Yankees before. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey, wants to talk some Yanks. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, look, I think it's time to admit that the Torpedo Bats is an official failure. I think they went 1-for-19 yesterday with 10 strikeouts and one home run. It looks like if you can give them a rack, it wouldn't matter. They got to make contact for it to mean anything. So I think that the Yankees' offensive philosophy right now is still the big issue. Missing a guy like Soto, who's able to just put balls in play, put them in play hard, instead of just trying to launch one every single time, is going to be something that costs the Yankees, right? And that's not that's got nothing to do with injury. That is the makeup of this current lineup.
They're going to have to work even around it.
Exactly.
But by the way, even before Soto was here, thanks for the call, that was a real issue for the Yankees anyway. The Yankees, for many years, were overly reliant on the long ball. And I'm not talking about bunting like it's the 1980s, but, you know, just hitting behind runners, putting guys in motion, going first to home on a double, putting the ball in play, two-strike approach, sack fly, going first to third, guaranteed on a base hit to the outfield. Like, you know, that's why I said, as I was running down some of the things from the Yankee game last night, I love Ben Rice's at bat. I thought Will Warren was really good. And there were some other things that I did like here, but their situational hitting was not good. And you're going to face more guys like Corbin Burns when it matters than you are the trash that the Brewers dropped out for three straight days.
If I'm not going to overreact to the barrage against the Brewers with the offense, I'm not going to overreact to one night where the bats weren't all clicking. I think it is going to be something to watch all year long
and see
if the Yankees can have consistent output offensively, not just the long ball, because those will go away against the better pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not the torpedo bat thing. I do think that now, when you start to see it simmer down a little bit, then that will become way less of a story. The only way that that continues to be a story here, or the reason that people are talking about it, the Yankees offense, is if they continue to mash homers left and right with everybody using that bat specifically.
At a rate that is just not even remotely close to what baseball's seen for a while, which I don't think they will. It's obviously, it's going to recalibrate. They're not hitting 15 every weekend.
No, you would think. And to the caller's point, to actually have the torpedo bat come into effect, you have to make contact on it. A lot of players in the big leagues, you know, swing and miss though. So we'll see. I never thought it was a huge deal. It was fun to talk about for a little while, but now maybe we'll start to see it calm down just a little bit. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation. Mets, Manaea, what do they do? Yankees as well. Also, let's get to the Jets, BT, when we come back. I know we're talking about that with the owners' meetings. Something about the Jets and their owner. Could that be a good thing or a bad thing moving forward for the Jets?